Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that I think is on a lot of people's mind. We're going to talk about the SAVE plan. We're going to talk about the top questions that we are getting at Student Loan Planner about the SAVE plan and things that you might want to know, as well as what are the biggest red flags we see with borrowers' awareness of what's coming down the pipeline with student loans and just things you really need to be super aware of, because it's going to cost you a lot of money if you're not aware of it. I'm going to go over a couple different things first. I thought I would start off today's episode talking about the top three questions that we're getting about the SAVE plan. First question is, what deadlines or when? Obviously, I'm slinging around all kinds of dates in the email newsletter, and a lot of people want to know, hold up, what do I have to do, and tell me, when do I have to do it? So let me just be clear. Now that the deadline for getting a refund on any payments during the pandemic has passed, there's only one big deadline to worry about right now for the rest of the year, and that's December 31st, 2023. That's when the IDR account adjustment opportunity is over with. So you have plenty of time still to take any actions needed, like consolidating or not consolidating, et cetera, through the end of this year. So that's the first deadline that everybody really needs to pay attention to. The next deadline after that is going to be July of 2024, July 1st, 2024 to be specific. That's the last day that anybody's going to be able to sign up for the pay-as-you-earn plan or the ICR plan, unless you are a Parent Plus borrower, in which case you'll be able to do it as long as you want. Now, the reason this matters is because the SAVE plan is a 25-year plan for graduate borrowers, and the pay plan is a 20-year plan for graduate borrowers. If you run the math, pay-as-you-earn is a lot better than SAVE for a lot of borrowers in certain circumstances. So specifically borrowers that have exponential growing incomes, there's sort of a sweet spot where pay saves somebody a lot of money compared to SAVE. And that sweet spot is really existing for borrowers between, 2007 and 2014, because that's when somebody would have borrowed for the first time between those 2 year ranges, because those borrowers that borrowed between those 2 year ranges are also not eligible for that new IBR program that is guaranteed in the statute of the law. So anybody that's a new borrower after 2014 actually has time to decide if they want to leave the SAVE plan for this new IBR plan later. That deadline is not until July 1st of 2029. Now, the other deadline to know for Parent Plus borrowers only is July 1st, 2025. That's the deadline for new consolidations that included Parent Plus loans anywhere along the way, not having access to the SAVE plan. Now, we are not convinced totally that the ability to consolidate multiple times for the SAVE plan for Parent Plus borrowers is dead after July of 2025. The way we read the new rules is that double consolidations are banned, but triple consolidations might not be banned. So we are probably going to have to do a test case after July of 2025 where we help somebody do a triple consolidation and appeal it to the FSA ombudsman and essentially say, well, the statute doesn't say that you can't do a triple consolidation and get SAVE, but goodness sakes, we do not want to put ourselves in that situation if anybody has the need to do a double consolidation. Now's the time. Get it done way before July 2025. There's tons and tons of time. If somebody consolidated a bunch of loans with Parent Plus loans and did not do the double consolidation correctly, what we are recommending to a lot of Parent Plus borrowers right now is go back to school and take out a very small amount of loans in your own name and then drop out and then consolidate everything together and you can get the SAVE plan. Is it weird? Is it kind of an ugly method to do it? Yeah, that's not what we'd prefer. But goodness, that would be a way for people to save a drastic, huge amount of money if you're stuck in that situation, and it's the best option of not great options, right? So that's my first kind of take, is what deadlines are when, end of the year for the IDR account adjustment, then July 2024 for pay, July 2025 for the double consolidation, and July of 2029 for people that want access to the new IBR plan. And so if we think about deadlines in terms of payments, there's no deadlines per se, right? Everything else is not really a deadline. It's more of a suggestion. So what I mean by that is October 1st is the first day that we think payments will start coming out. It might be for October 1st for everybody, but it also might be a little more staggered than that. We know interest is being charged in September, but the payments and how they're deducted are what's going to really make a lot of sense in terms of, we'll probably start seeing what people's NSLDS files are really like after October 1. We'll start getting some clarity also with people's IDR recertification dates being bumped, and those will be updated in people's NSLDS files. Right now, most of them still say some date in 2023, and none of those are correct if it says 2023. So now, even though there might not be deadlines that either apply or don't apply to you, there might be reasons to try to get your payment certified early or not certified early. So let me give you an example. Let's say at studentloanplanner.com/calculator, you use our calculator and you calculate that your save plan payment is lower than what you're currently paying and what you were paying before the pandemic. In that case, you do need to apply to the save plan because it will save you money because our calculator is showing a lower number than what the Department of Ed amount that you're currently paying is. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, what if there's a conflict between Student Loan Planner's calculator and what the federal student aid website is showing? That's probably a good reason to do a consultation, just to double check the numbers. Obviously, if somebody is just using the free stuff on our site, we don't have the opportunity to say, hold up, let's double check. That would be an example where I would just double check with a consultant that you're working with on our team to make sure of things. Now, quick note on availability. We do have excellent availability for October. I mean, it's not amazing. Excellent's like a little bit of a strong word, I suppose. But we have staffed up extensively to try to handle the demand going into what we know will be an insanely busy end of year with the IDR account adjustment expiring. October and November is plenty of time for you to schedule a consult to double check that you're doing the right stuff with return to repayment and consolidations and all that kind of thing. So even though we don't have availability for September, do not despair. There is no urgent need for you to book in September just because of the main deadline that's so applicable is that IDR account adjustment, which isn't out of the picture till the end of 2023. The first question we talked about was what deadlines are when. Number two, the top questions about the save plan that we're getting is the save plan better than the new repay plan that people have been talking about? We are getting a lot of questions from people that we have consulted with since January 2023 that are just asking that. Is the save plan better or worse than the new repay plan my consultant recommended? So luckily, the save plan is exactly the same thing as the new repay plan that we have been modeling since January of 2023. So if anybody's gotten a consult in the year of 2023, the advice is good. You don't have to worry if some consultant said to do new repay, it's the same thing as the save plan. In fact, old repay is becoming the save plan. What are the big differences? That you can file separately for taxes, much better poverty line deduction, and much better interest subsidies. The save plan will become, you know, what you will be on if you are already on repay. And so we'll be excited to see some more examples of how that actually happens for people over time as their payment amount gets recalculated. Number three top question about what people are asking about for the save plan is, when do I have to sign up? This is coming up more and more and more every day. When do I have to sign up for the save plan? Let me be very clear. There is no deadline. There is no date by which you need to take action. The save plan is open enrollment. You can sign up for it whenever you want. And what we are finding is so many people have a low payment in 2024 that's certified until 2024 or even 2025, that in many cases, it would be a very expensive mistake for people to take the Biden administration's advice at face value and go apply for save. Keep in mind that people do things for incentives, right? What is the Biden administration's incentive? To see as many people sign up for his new plan as possible so that he can say, look what I did for student loan borrowers. I don't mean that in a bad way, but any politician would be exactly the same, right? How many people have signed up for my program? How much of a success can I have this be to tout this in the next election? So that's the incentive. It's real that it saves most people a ton of money. I'm not going to dispute that. But it's also real that for someone who's an unusual borrower, what makes you an unusual borrower? If you have six figures, most people don't have that. You know, probably 90% of student loan borrowers don't have six figures, right? If you have a six-figure income, most student loan borrowers don't have a six-figure income. If you have a high household income and you're married, you know, a lot of these things do not apply to the average student loan borrower who's, you know, 24 and single, making $60,000 a year with $30,000 of debt. There's special things that apply to that person too. So I just wanted to be clear that you do not have to take any urgent action about save for most people. In fact, most people should not be taking any urgent action. Most people should intentionally wait to take action. Remember that there's no penalty between October 2023 and 2024 for having an on-ramp to repayment where you're essentially in forbearance, not making payments. So worst case scenario, just take a deep breath, and just relax. There's nothing urgent that has to happen tomorrow. There's nothing urgent that has to happen next month. Now, there is some urgent stuff that's got to happen by December 31st for probably millions of borrowers, but that's something that we still have time to address. So I wanted to address another thing that we have discovered looking into what's changing with student loans. We did a survey, and we did this, basically it was a tax survey. We asked people, what tax status are you planning to use for, you know, student loans, you know, in tax year 2023? So in other words, how are you going to file your taxes next year? The results were really shocking to us. So about 2-to-1 married borrowers in a 2-to-1 margin said they were going to file jointly instead of separately. Looking at those numbers shows a shocking misunderstanding of the new rules for the SAVE plan. Really, those numbers at least should be reversed. It should be 2-to-1 filing separate versus joint. And the reason is because the incentives for filing separate are so massive. So let me give you an example. You've got a family of five. Both of them have student loans. Let's just say each person's got $100,000 income. So each person's got $100,000 income. Family of five, both have, let's just say, an undergrad-sized debt each. You might say, of course, there's no way this person's going to get forgiveness, right? Well, not so fast. If you look into, you know, the overall deduction the family could claim, it's about $78,000. That would be 225% of the poverty line. But if they file separately, each borrower could get a deduction of about $66,000 or $67,000. So that means you're paying 5% on the difference between $100,000 of their individual incomes and $67,000, but only if they file separately. So now you're paying, instead of 10% of income, you're going to be paying 5% of income on that $33,000. And is there anything else kind of crazy going on right now? The 5% of income formula does not apply until July of 2024. That's the first time they're going to start taking 5% of income for undergrad loans and 10% for grad loans on the SAVE plan. So if this person was trying to get forgiveness, they might intentionally wait to make payments, take advantage of that forbearance, right? Sign up for the plan that's 5% of your income, and maybe save a little bit for retirement. If they saved for retirement, you know, you're talking $100,000 minus $67,000 is the deduction. And let me just do some quick math here. So if we just said $33,000 minus $22,500 times 5%, so that's a monthly payment of about $40 a month. $40 a month, about $500 a year. If we look at the interest cost on a $33,000 loan, you know, that's an interest cost of about $2,000. But on the SAVE plan, you're only paying interest based off of what your actual payment is. So in this case, this sort of very successful couple that both have six-figure incomes and $30,000 of debt each, they're getting an interest subsidy of about $1,500, which is $2,000, which is what the stated interest is, minus $500, which is their annual SAVE plan payment if they file separately for taxes. So each person is saving $1,500 in interest each every year. And then they're also saving by paying $500 a year instead of paying $300 a month, which is the standard plan. And so if you just extrapolate out $500 a year on their student loans times the 20 years they need till forgiveness, so this couple could end up paying only about $10,000 towards their $30,000 of student loans. But if they file jointly, they'll have to pay it off. Now, some people would say, well, you know what? I'd rather just file jointly and get rid of it. It's $300 a month. Maybe I could pay $1,000 a month with some bonuses I get. Just get rid of the loans. You know, no big deal, right? That's fine. What I usually find from people with that attitude is they have a high savings rate, they're oversavers, they're overachievers, right? They're pushing themselves really hard in their careers and trying to make more and more money. But sometimes that's not the healthy thing to do. Sometimes the goal is to buy a house or to start a family or to not burn yourself out or to take care of your mental health, right? So it's really personalized. It very much depends on what's best for you in the situation and season of life that you're in. And it shouldn't be you've got to pay these loans back or you're just a broken person, right? That's what a lot of folks like to make borrowers feel like. If you don't pay these loans back, you know, you had a terrible decision going to higher education. Doesn't have to be that way. The reason why higher education is so expensive is because the government is so unwilling to regulate schools and they allow schools to charge people whatever they want up to the cost of attendance, right? That's why costs are so high. Sometimes you could say that's a good thing because it makes more people from more diverse backgrounds able to achieve the dream of higher education, but it probably from a rational standpoint should be regulated in some level But why is it not? Because universities have a lot of political clout and they do not want to have to implement any kind of budget or cost control measures, right? That's probably what it comes down to. One of the most interesting stories I've heard in a student loan forum once was when they initially proposed capping the amount of student loans that students could take out. The pushback wasn't really so much from student loan borrowers. It was from institutions like Notre Dame and University of Alabama and schools that have become very wealthy by tapping the federal student loan programs to the max. Because, you know, those institutions are able to benefit enormously, hire a lot of staff, give more than inflation level raises in some cases. It's just an interesting thing that we're going through. And I wonder if we're going to ever see, you know, approaches to try to rein in the cost of college at a federal level using student loans as the bludgeon. But we'll just have to see if that ever happens, right? Merit filing separately is something that I would have everyone really look into a lot more carefully than they are. You know, especially if you live in a community property state, about 1 in 3 of our community does. So that's like Texas, Louisiana, Arizona, California, Washington State. There's a few others. It's about 9 states, mostly Southwest and West Coast, excluding Oregon. So if you live in a community property state, you even more need to look into filing separately for taxes, because there's one of two things that's going to happen. One is you're benefiting from splitting your income 50-50 and then getting a much lower payment on the save plan than you used to be able to get in the repay plan. But alternatively, you need to do alternative documentation of income because you're the lower earning spouse in a community property state. So let's say you make 50, your spouse makes 100, you live in California. You want to make darn sure you don't let the IRS automatically provide information to your servicer, because then what they might do every year is try to certify you at a much higher income level than you should be certified at. So instead, you could use alternative documentation of income, split the income 50-50 to avoid tax penalties, but then still benefit from that low payment by using alternative documentation to certify that income. There are a bunch of tax tricks and tools that I think the borrowers that are highly informed are going to be able to use to save a ton of money on the save plan. We're talking thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars with some strategies that, you know, we give away almost everything, but some of these strategies I don't necessarily want to talk about at the moment. And I will talk about them in a future episode probably. But I will say this: why are we making so many changes to what Student Loan Planner offers? Why are we under so much pressure from a demand standpoint? And why are we so unable to meet with clients like we have been historically? So we've gone from 10 consultants to over 30 consultants in a very small amount of time. Basically, everybody sort of had the same idea during the student loan pause. I'm going to put off looking at my student loans because I don't have to look at my student loans. And obviously, life is short and full of really fun and interesting things. And student loans are not that interesting compared to a lot of other fun stuff in the world, right? But everybody started logging onto their student loan site at the same time and asking for help at the same time. It was a little bit like getting punched in the face, right? Everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the face. And so we were thinking, oh, we're going to have to hire, you know, a couple new consultants. I had no idea that we were going to have to add so many. And don't get me wrong, like the consultants that we've added are exceptional. I mean, many of them are just amazing with years and years of experience. I would say actually all of them have a lot of experience or some level of experience helping people and just are really diving into the training. We put people through a lot of training before we allow them to do meetings with anybody. So just in case somebody's worried, oh no, am I going to be working with somebody that's new? You know, we do not have somebody work with someone until they've been through a lot of training. And so that's one of the reasons why our calendar is so backed up, is because we are unwilling to sacrifice quality just to say that we met with somebody sooner. And the other thing that is very different with Student Loan Planner compared to some other groups out there is when you're getting advice from us, even if you're talking to a particular consultant, you're not getting advice from that one consultant, you're getting it from the whole team. And the reason is because we talk about case studies, you know, in multiple meetings every week. So we have like 3 or 4 meetings a week where we go over cases, and we have a lot of different internal channels where people can make sure that if there's any question at all in a complex situation, that we've got multiple consultants just comparing notes and making sure the right advice was given to a client, just to confirm that. So there's a reason that we have the best, like 4.95 out of 5-star rating in the student loan advice world. And it's a reason why, you know, we're up to 30 consultants while other places are, you know, that are, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant or anything. There's a lot of places that have sort of popped up. They're sort of copycats. Why have we been able to do this? One is because I think we have amazing clients. So you listening to this, you know, I do not at all for a moment think that it's a luxury to have your trust, right? It's something that we have to be able to do what we do, and we're very, very grateful for having it. So if I ever do something that compromises that trust, you know, that would be really awful, because it's a wonderful experience when the typical person that talks to us is already willing to listen to feedback and our advice. You know, very grateful for that. And then the other thing is being able to have the blessing of the size of the audience that we have. You know, when we ask people to apply for a role, we get some amazing people. We had like a position the other day and it got like 60 applications. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, that's really exciting. So when we do bring on somebody new to the team, they're really exceptional, right? We have a lot more people that want to join the team than we have space for. So that's another secret to the success, I think, is like when you're talking to somebody, they really are exceptional. So a lot of we were doing some of these podcast interviews with new people on the team. You know, those are really talented people. I'm excited to have every one of them. And then what is Student Loan Planner doing next? Like, what are we doing now that we're going from 10 consultants to 30? I'm not making it a secret anymore. We've already launched what's probably the fastest growing financial planning firm in the country. So we've gone from zero to about 700 clients in only a couple months. And we had to stop promoting it because we didn't have space to, we didn't have enough advisors to serve everybody, frankly, because we're trying to go slow, make sure quality is amazing, make sure the processes and systems are amazing, and make sure that we don't disappoint anybody. That's something that I think about all the time, is wanting to do an amazing job for you. So I'm really excited to talk more about SLP Wealth in coming episodes. I think you've kind of seen me hint at it in some of our email newsletters. So kind of the plan there is, of all of these new consultants that we're hiring, a lot of them have been in financial planning for a long time, have niche expertise. And so we're probably going to be moving a lot of those folks as we grow into the financial planning arm of our company. And the goal there is to take what we've learned from advising, you know, literally thousands of people in particular professions, and to create the best-in-class experience at the best and most affordable price for financial planning that you'll find anywhere. So we'll talk more about that when we actually have the seats to offer for it. I hope we will in the coming months. And the other thing that we're doing is, because I saw, like, talking to other people on our team, there's such a misconception as to how people need to be filing their taxes with the changes to the SAVE plan. We are also building a tax firm that I'll share more details of that in a future episode as well. But we're building a tax firm to do people's taxes for them. The only way to get that service is going to be if you're a client of SLP Wealth, because we do not want to put ourselves in a situation where we have too much demand on the tax side, and especially that we can't handle confidently. So that's the reason for kind of putting that obstacle in place, where somebody has to be a client of SLP Wealth to be able to also have us do their taxes. And for obvious reasons, we don't want to get into a situation where we say yes to too many people that want their taxes done with a student loan aware lens, but then not be able to process all the returns and have to disappoint anybody when it's too late, obviously, in February to make a switch, right? So we'll talk about that more in an upcoming episode, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a peek behind the curtain here as to what's going on and why. It's been really intense. I've definitely have had to sort of take long walks and try to calm down a little bit, just because it's been a very exciting time in business. I'm sure that maybe if you have ever experienced any kind of extremely busy season and that came out of nowhere, that's what it's felt like for the past couple months. And I'm doing absolutely everything I can to try to serve as many of you as possible. And, you know, sometimes it definitely takes a little bit of a toll trying to feel like I'm not disappointing people, because I really hate disappointing people. To that extent, we're doing our best. We're doing everything we can. I really love helping you. Our team really loves helping you. Thank you for all the grace and all the patience and all of the just encouragement that you give our team. It means more than you know. And we're going to keep trying to save people as much money as we possibly can. So if you have any questions that you want addressed in a podcast episode, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. You can ask any kind of questions you want there. studentloanplanner.com/book. If you need to schedule a time with our team, probably for some time in October right now. And we will, I promise, have some more explanations of why are we doing SLP Wealth? How are we building it? What are we doing? How are we also planning to offer tax services in this tax year, for tax year 2023, in the coming months? We'll have more for you on that later. The reason why we do all of this is because we're trying to remove stress and anxiety and just burden from your plate in a way that'll save you a lot more money than it costs. That's our philosophy for whatever new business that we do or get into. So we'll have more for you later on all those updates. Thank you so much for trusting us. We never take it for granted. Thank you for listening to the Serial Entrepreneur Podcast. Hope you have a wonderful week.